I've thought a lot as we ended the reading yesterday. I've thought a lot about what we have in the first three chapters. I know that there are many sisters here. There are perhaps brothers that do a bit of cooking too. But most sisters are involved in cooking. And you can imagine what it would be if you took a recipe and decided that I'm just going to do with that what I want to. Or if a brother that is involved in programming or a brother that is involved in reading blueprints just decided to start to change things. We have a blueprint before us, chapters 1, 2, and 3. We have a recipe, if you want to say. We have a program, and we want to see that this is God's ideal for us. This is the basis. This is the foundation that our walk comes from. Now, I want to say something that I wish I had said yesterday morning. A difference in this epistle and Philippians or Romans or Corinthians or many of the other epistles of Paul and Peter. In those epistles, we are being saved. Salvation is at the end of the road in those epistles. Dear young people, in this epistle, we are addressed as those that are saved. We are saved right now. I am as ready for heaven today, and you are, as you will ever be. Not only am I as ready, but I am seen in this epistle as sitting in heavenly places as we went over yesterday morning. So that's going to change the scope of this epistle a little bit. That I am saved, and then yesterday we left off with the Spirit of God. We saw yesterday that He is the seal, the ownership mark on you and I that we belong to Christ. We are His. We also didn't touch as much on the fact that the Spirit of God is the power that I need in my life to live for Christ. New birth is not power. I want us to understand that. We've been born again, but new birth is not power. We have a new nature. We've been given that new nature by Christ. The new nature is not power to live for Christ. The power to live for Him is seen in the verses or seen in the Holy Spirit who indwells us. So we started in whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. How important is the good news? Now, I may have not been so happy about it when I first heard that I was nothing. I had nothing. I could contribute nothing. I was bankrupt. I was far from God. That's where we're seen at in this epistle. And if there was any work or any blessing that would ever come, it could only come from God beginning the work in us. Here, the Holy Spirit, having been saved, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God influences us, but He is not an influence. He is a real living person who indwells the believer. How we need to go home with that today. That dwelling in me is a divine person. In heaven is a man that once was here. It's the opposite of what the world would tell you. The world would tell you that man is on earth and the divine person is in heaven. This book tells me that a divine person is on earth and there's a man in the presence of God. That divine person is the enabler for you and I, as well as the down payment for you and I, that the inheritance that has been promised, we as Gentiles will partake in that.
So, Brother Chuck, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because you're mentioning about the Spirit of God. When do I receive the Spirit of God, Brother Chuck?
What does this verse say?
You tell me.
I think that is a really, there's where we need to come from the Word. People might have many opinions. I might have an opinion. You might have an opinion. This brother has an opinion. So, you know, we all have elbows and ears. Let's get away from what we think. And let's go back to the firm foundation of the Word of God. What does it say? In whom also, and this is the point, after that ye believed. God never seals what is not his. He seals what belongs to him, doesn't he? Does that help answer?
So you're telling me that from the scripture, because that's what we rely on, I receive the Holy Spirit when I believe. Got that? So I don't care what anybody tell you. It doesn't say that you pray so you could receive the second blessing and you receive the Holy Spirit. When you believe, you're sealed. You receive the Holy Spirit. There is no second blessing because in verse 3, you are blessed with all spiritual blessing. Every one of them. The first, the second, the third, the 29th, and the 200 and billion nine. You have them all. But just keep that in mind. Mark that verse. When do you receive the Holy Spirit? When you believe. That's just God's working. So far, God's doing all the work. I don't pray to receive the Holy Spirit. You believe, you receive, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Verse 14 also shows to us that he is the earnest. Now, that's an old English word, I guess we would say. We understand that word as meaning the down payment. Okay? We see here, the King James says, which is, but it's nice to see the new translation is who. He, again, emphasizing, underlining that he is the person. Who is the earnest, and it's not now just Gentiles. It's not now just Jews. Paul, that was speaking in we or us, now changes the word to our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The church has been bought. I want to see that. It is a purchased possession. But you know, will be complete in that day when Christ has his rights, when he reigns, you see. But there's a down payment here. There's that which says, this one who is a Gentile, this one who is a Jew, will take part in that in a day to come. Some of us were talking this morning before we prayed. Why now does the Spirit of God lead the apostle to pray? Why didn't he just teach? And I think we come to the realization that the clearest teacher, the clearest teaching, needs that behind it, which is the work of the Spirit of God, that our eyes, who have heard truth, may be able to receive truth, that we might be able to lay hold of the things. And so the apostle says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith must have an object. We can see that. Faith has an object. That object is Christ. But you know what else? Love has an object. All the saints. How often our thoughts are narrow. And we think only of those that perhaps we break bread with. Or only of those that we meet with. But when I find someone who is a believer in Christ Jesus, he may have never heard of gathering to the name of Christ. That's not the important thing there. He belongs to the Lord. And as God gives me the opportunity, I show the love of Christ towards him, don't I? I embrace them. I don't embrace perhaps what they hold, but I embrace them as those who belong to Jesus.